Every year for 50 years, some 500,000 middle and high schoolers from across the country have competed in a contest called National History Day, using arts to portray their research stories. Jeffrey Brown spent a day with the finalists at the University of Maryland in College Park to see how this year they defined the very timely turning points in history. The story is part of our new series, Art in Action, exploring the intersection of art and democracy and our ongoing Canvas coverage.
We will do it. 305 women answered the call, marching proudly, standing tall.
Hello, all. Welcome to the National Human Genome Research Institute.
It was history brought alive through performance such as this one, titled Turning the Tide of Hatred, The Killing of Vincent Chin.
You hurt me and my son. You're going to pay for this.
Through documentary films.
The doctors made an effort to prevent subjects from improving their condition.
And with eye-catching exhibits on the widest range of topics, including the birth of children's television workshop, how the Dust Bowl revolutionized agriculture, the Manhattan Project. Some 3,000 students from around the country presenting work based on research topics that had taken the better part of a year to complete.
The most important reason why we teach history and we believe that it's absolutely crucial, as important as STEM education is because it helps build quality, thoughtful, engaged citizens. They want to do something a little bit different, so they get to be creative and present that information in different ways, and that's part of the fun. And it is fun.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Nice to meet you.
Historian Kathy Gorn, executive director of National History Day since 1982, has developed the organization into an acclaimed international academic program integrated into curriculum.
The hat is a different story.
Throughout the year, students met with advisors and honed their skills, then competed in local and state contests before these national finals, where the competition and energy was most intense. As finalists gathered with their families,
ENIAC was one of the world's first large-scale digital computing devices,
and practiced their lines, and judges scored the displays, all following in the footsteps of thousands of previous competitors over the past half century, including alumni such as current National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and Pulitzer Prize-winning classical composer Caroline Shaw. High school sophomores Emma Waugh, Josephine Calzada, and Chloe Crable from Needham, Massachusetts, produced a documentary on the infamous Tuskegee syphilis study.
Their malicious intent was never revealed to the subjects, and some were never even told they had syphilis.
From 1932 to 1972, the U.S. government conducted research on nearly 400 African-American men with the disease. The men weren't informed of the nature of the experiment. More than 100 died who could have been saved. The students found echoes to today.
Tuskegee instilled a lot of distrust in Black Americans and marginalized communities in general of the government. So there's still this like idea that vaccines, for example, which there's a lot of concern about now, that there are nefarious purposes behind it.
As we did further research, I think the primary sources that we saw were really like a lot of the images of like doctors' handwriting, doctors' notes, and like correspondence between doctors and officials. It was really like eerie, and it was just really uncomfortable to see. And I think that's something that really shocked us all.
You know, you're also all growing up at a time of incredible divisions in the country, and a lot of people fearing for the future of democracy in this country. And I wonder how this project, did it offer you any special insights into that?
Looking at what happened in the past, and I guess just applying it to what's happening today, to like avoid making the same mistakes, I think that's one of the main points of studying history.
Knowing that us as like high school sophomores, as 15-year-olds, can just do that and make an impact in people's lives, I think it brings me hope that knowing that like everyone can kind of make an impact in the world.
That's music to the ears of Gorn.
They found out that people can make change. Ordinary people can find triumph out of unspeakable tragedy, that they'll look for compromise, and they learn that we're all in this together. And that's what democracy is about, and that's what history teaches. In the process, it's teaching empathy. And right now, we need a lot of empathy.
Hello. My name is Hans Schumacher-Waschkiesig, and this is AIM, the Native Swipe app.
13-year-old Hayden Washagizik of rural South Haven, Michigan, is part of the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians. We watched as he performed before a room full of judges, family, and fellow students, AIM, the Natives Fight Back. It tells of the founding of the American Indian Movement in 1968 to address poverty, discrimination, and police brutality against American Indians. An actor from age five, Hayden sees performing as a tool for conveying history.
I really feel like it can be more powerful because it changes every time. It's not one set show. And with acting, I can kind of walk around, I can yell, I can change it up based on how I feel like it'll fit the room. And I really feel like just performance gives a way more powerful of a way of showing that and conveying the message.
I remember that character.
Heather DiMario of Alaska and National Teacher Hall of Fame member Terry Caldescal of Wisconsin see those light bulbs go off in their classrooms.
They choose something that is of interest to them, and they have to show its connection to other parts, economic, social, and political causes, impacts, and changes, which allows them to learn about other parts of history. They learn about different parts of the world.
In history, a lot of times we say, here's what happened, now tell me what happened. Excellent, you get an A. That's not doing history. So these kids are digging for sources. Am I trying to train them to be historians? No, I'm trying to train them to be more critical thinkers, deeper thinkers. And this is the tool that not only gets them engaged in history, gets them engaged to be deep readers. These are all skills they're going to be using no matter what path they take in life.
You all represent a kind of front line in all of the work that we're doing.
Also on hand, filmmaker Ken Burns.
We are trying to tell a true, honest, complicated past that's unafraid of controversy and tragedy, but equally drawn to those stories and moments that suggest an abiding faith in the human spirit.
Students eager to learn about the art of filmmaking peppered him with questions.
How do you figure out what to include and not to include in order to convey a cohesive story?
How do you research when you have to look at what isn't being mentioned and draw conclusions about a time period from that?
I asked Kathy Gorn, if the study of history can bring us together, why is it so much under attack today?
Why is that happening now? Because we're not teaching enough about how we overcome our issues and our problems. We think that there are solutions that are just so easy and there are single answers to things. And history teaches us that life is complex. We're helping to create informed citizens, informed patriots, not blind patriots.
In the end, there were winners in many different categories.
Taking home the silver from St. Paul, Minnesota, Zania Hirlmeyer.
The larger hope, the research and performances and other work shown here will have lasting impacts on these students and the rest of us for years to come. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown at the University of Maryland.